to plan the service.
Okay.
We're not getting together Saturday morning and who's preaching on what and what songs. Can we tie them all together? It's just God is just orchestrating this thing. And as I watched, I thought, what were the odds that Jacob is up there leading songs? He doesn't know who's coming. He asks if he can give his testimony. Easton, we have no idea that there's going to be a bunch of high school guys showing up. And then the message that was laid out, I just was just in awe, and I was just, God, you're so amazing how you put this thing together. We could have tried to do it, and it just would fall flat. And I just watch at the splendor of God and how he is really running the show here. And it's just amazing to see what God is doing. And did anybody else notice that or think that? I mean, you sit back and you just watch God as he's doing things. And it's just fabulous. It is just absolutely amazing. Well, let's see. Let me go back to the start of this before you turn it on, Brother Ryan. Okay. Does that work? Do I have to hit the scan button again? Okay. Just give me one second. Put that right there. There, one eye over there. Okay. All right. You've heard of all of the just the terrible stuff, the terrible, terrible. It's beyond comprehension. I can't even listen to it. I turn it off now because it's just too much. But I heard a great story that came out of this. And it's just a phenomenal story. And I want to share it with you. You can watch the actual interview, the video, but instead of doing that, I thought I would break up the video and because there might be some things that maybe young people don't want to see. But anyway, it's a great, great story that came out of this. And so I'm going to go over that. But before I do, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless the remaining portion of this service. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be here today, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray, amen, that your will would be done in this situation, Lord God, considering Israel, Lord Jesus. God, that you'd watch over the innocent, Lord. God, we just ask that your Spirit would be with us here tonight, leading us and guiding us, Lord God, into all truth. We give you the glory in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's a portion, a snapshot of the nation of Israel. And it goes up higher north and down south. And as we saw, was it last week, I think, the map with in the state of Washington? It really gives you perspective of the size of it. Well, anyway, there's Gaza, and that's where the terrorists came through, and they attacked some small little towns and killed over 1,000 people, innocent people. And one of these towns was right there, about a mile from the border. And they had about 500 people living in it. And the video that I watched was about this family, Amir, his wife, and two daughters. It's really just a fabulous story. And so this is outside of their house, And that is Amir's wife and two little daughters, one and three. Precious, right? I don't know if there's anything more precious than little baby girls. You know, they're precious. Now, you girls probably think puppies are the most precious things, but they're not. It's actually little baby girls. No. Anyway, boys are fun, but little girls, they are just precious, right? And here's Amir and his wife. And so what happened was last Saturday morning at about 6 o'clock in the morning, she hears whistling, the sound of missiles. And they've heard this before, of rockets. And they've heard this before. And she says, Amir, I'm hearing rockets. And they get up and they hear all of these rockets. And so they run into the safe room. All these houses have a safe room that are fortified with steel and rebar, concrete, and they're able to withstand direct mortar attacks, okay? And they usually make that the children's bedroom. So that way, if there is a siren that goes off, it's not the kids having to run, but the adults run to the safe room. And so they're in this safe room, and they can hear now bullets, guns going off. They can hear the terrorists outside screaming. There's pandemonium going off, and they've hunkered down, and he's texting on his phone. The mom tells the two girls, one and three, I'm sorry, but you can't talk right now. And they're somewhere in that safe room, huddled in a mass, and he's trying to find out what's going on. Amir ends up texting some individuals, and he sees it's a big attack. And they're waiting for the police. They're waiting for the army, and nothing is going on. And so he ends up reaching out to, what do you do when you got nowhere else to go? He called his dad. They were already praying. Oh. He called his dad. His dad gets the call and says, no more talking on the phone. You can only text. What's going on? He tells them, we think the terrorists are right outside, right? And so as soon as the dad finds out about this, here's the dad. As soon as he finds out, he takes two of the most valuable items in his household, his wife and his pistol. And he says, we're going to Amir's house. Now, he lives in Tel Aviv. Gives her the keys. He's on the phone. And she's driving as fast as she can to get to her son, daughter-in-law, and the two grandchildren. There she is. Now, the thing about this man, well, let me say this. They get into their Jeep, and this is going to be a big part of the story later on, and she drives. Dad, Grandpa, he's a retired general. He used to be a head of the parachute troopers or whatever, airborne. He's fought in different areas of Israel, the West Bank. So he's the real deal, right? He says, just get there. Don't say a word. Don't make any noise. Stay there. We're coming. Now that's a dad. Huh? And a mom. They start driving and they run into this police barricades. They say, you have to let us through. It's our family. Our kids are there. They have no hope. No, you can't go. You can't go. She says, we have a Jeep. So they just went in the field and just went around the police barricade. The first one. They got to the second one. They stopped. And she says, it's our family. If you want, you shoot us right now. And they just went right through the barricade. Amazing. And as they got past those barricades, he says he saw things that he had never seen before. And this is a man who's been through battles and in the military. And I'm not going to put the pictures up here that they had in the video, but it's pretty bad. And so they see all of this. This was part of a concert where there was close to 1,000 people that were attacked, and they took off running. And there was a young man and his girlfriend or wife, or I don't know, they got in their car, drove off, and then somewhere down the road, the car was getting shot at, and it became where it was no longer operable. And so they jumped out of the car, and it happened to be in an area where there was some woods, and there was a pile of leaves, big dry leaves from these trees, and they hid in those leaves for 2 or 3 hours as all of this chaos was going on. And then when things cleared up, that's this couple right here, when things cleared up and they could tell that the fighting was somewhere else, they jumped out of those leaves and tried to get to a safe spot, and they saw Amir's mom and dad coming down, maneuvering through the debris, and ran out in front of them saying, save us, save us, save us. Now, here's the thing is this. This man is going to save his children, and these people jump out. You know what he does? He puts them in the car, and he drives them into Israel to a safe place. Then, as he drives back, as they're driving back, they pick up a soldier. And then they realize that maybe it's going to get too heated to have his wife there. So they put the wife at a safe spot. And him and the soldier continue to drive, and they come across a small group of soldiers on a Jeep in a hot gunfire, and they get out of their car and they join the Israeli soldiers in the gunfire with the terrorists. A few of those Israeli soldiers were hit. This is some of the debris from what had happened. And a few of those soldiers were hit and died, but there was two of them. They could be saved. They were bleeding really bad. And you know what he did? He said, I was not going to let them die. And he put them in the car, and he got them to where his wife was and had her drive them to a hospital. Now, that's the second time that he stopped to help somebody else, that strangers to him, right? And so he starts heading back, and he hooks up with another guy. It's a grandpa, another grandpa, old military buddy that he had been in service with years ago, just happened to be. And so there's a wife driving them back. They come across more skirmishes. They continue to fight these two grandpas, right? Just amazing. And they finally get to the town where his son is. And they start clearing out each house one by one. It took them a little over an hour when they got to the edge of the town to get to his son's house. They had some pictures of a house not far from there where it showed the video of the Hamas had a GoPro and they had this family in their living room. The dad was bleeding. They think that that family is held hostage now. And Amir and his family could hear all of this going on from their house. And so they go through and start clearing out all the homes. And they finally, he gets to Amir's house. Now, Amir's house, they have security footage. You know, you got like Ring and all that. I don't know what it's called over there. But anyway, they got something like that. Terrorist right outside of his house, using his house. He's on the corner of the house shooting at people. They shot through his living room window. But for some reason, I don't think they went into his house. They were right there taking cover at his house. The dad, he finally gets to the house. He knocks on the window, pounds on the window, and then the little girl jumps up and says, "Grandfather." It took him almost 9 hours to get there. 9 hours. They had no power, no food. Those little girls huddled down there for 9 hours. And this part of the video right here, the interview, this is where he says, "This is when we first began to cry." And when you watch it, you're just like, oh, man, that's something. And there they are, safe. They're all living now, right now, with Grandma and Grandpa in Tel Aviv. And when I thought about this, I thought, that's how we are with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, He's not just going to leave you. He's not just going to forsake you. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. The Lord was going to do a miraculous work on His way to do something, but somebody needed help and reached out and touched Him and got a miracle. Right? It's like this man here. He was on a mission to do something, but he saved at least four lives along the way. Right? And so I think about that's how the Lord is with us. Right? God, He is that Father to you and I that we can call on in times of trouble. Amen. He is right there for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. But what if you fall out of favor with Him? Well, I didn't give you these scriptures, but would you put these scriptures up? And you know the story here, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it's in Luke chapter 15. And can you start at verse 17 and then take us through to verse 24, please? And you know the story. It's the story of the prodigal son who went and took the blessing that he obtained from his father, and he said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. You know, there was no FaceTime. There was no texting. There was no phone calls back then. He just left. And his father loved him. And I'm sure that that father would pray every night, oh, Lord, bring my son home. Watch over my son. Protect my son. Amen. And as all people that walk away from the Lord come to this place right here, they may walk away, but eventually they get to that place. They're like, oh, if I could just make my way back to the house of the Lord. If I could just be a door greeter at the house of the Lord. If I could just be in one of those services, amen. They all get like that. And that's what happened to this young man. And the Bible says when he came to himself, he was at the very bottom. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He knows where to go. They know where to go. Amen. Let me turn this down. He says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He's broken. And that's what this world will do to people. It will break you. The burden of sin is so heavy. And at that point, there was no more pride left. He needed to be back in the Father's house. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Just think about that. Think about how much love God has for you. Right? Easton, Mom and I, we love you. But you know the Lord has more love for you than even what I do? There are natural fathers that will turn from their own sons. But he never will. Right? But look at that. There was no condemnation. There was no rebuke. There was no nothing. He was overwhelmed with joy of seeing his son. He fell on his neck and kissed him. He ran to him. Give me verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. And look what the father does. But the father said to his servants, hey, I want you to know you're my son. You have the same value today in my eyes as when you left. This is, amen, the ministry of reconciliation. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, the best, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. Whew. and shoes on his feet. Boy. I remember when my, well, I don't want to say anything bad about that, but anyway, you know, sometimes it's not like that in the world. Kid leaves, they show back up. Hold on, buddy. You left. You better find somewhere else to hang out for a little bit. There's probably people that have heard those words, right? Amen. I'm talking about a love that only he has. Amen. Bring forth. And he says, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, when I heard that story of that man, it inspired me to be a better father. Would I have done the same thing? Well, I hope so, right? Except for I would have grabbed probably like an AR-15 or something instead of a pistol. What's that? Well, I'd have to go buy one first, but with the background check, I couldn't get it for a month. But son, I'm just waiting for that to come in. I'm waiting for that AR-15. He just took his pistol and his wife, and they started going. Amazing. Amen. But that's the kind of father we have. He will do whatever he can to save you. He doesn't want you lost. He loves you, Mason. You too, Gigi. Amen. He loves you too, Danica. I mean, Phoebe. Anyway, praise God. There's going to be some good stories that come out of this. There will be stories that are going to build your faith, stories that are going to make you think there's hope. Amen. And so if you want to watch that, I think it was 60 Minutes that had that. It's worthwhile to watching it. And anyway, what a great story. And so I'm believing that God is going to do something miraculous. Amen. We know that his eyes are upon the church, you and I, and he's coming back, and it might be sooner than you think, or sooner than I think, right? And the thing that he's coming back for is his bride, the church. Amen. Now's the time, more than ever, to make sure we're ready. Amen. I know that there are things in this world that try to draw our attention, and we have to occupy till he comes. But we've got to have a mindset. This could be the day that the Lord steps out and calls us to glory. This could be the day. Praise God. Amen. All right. With that, we'll pray and be dismissed. Brother Ali, would you please pray and dismiss us?